Hello, and welcome to an off-season special episode of Here Come the Sun. I'm your host, Sean Gauthier, and I'm recording on Tuesday, October 29th. Yesterday, we had breaking news that head coach Stephanie White will not be returning as the head coach of the Connecticut Sun for the next season. To help me break down this news, I called Emily Adams from the Hartford Current to talk about what is going on both league-wide and for the Sun in this offseason. Later in the episode, I'll also talk a little bit about where you can watch your favorite Sun players playing in the WNBA offseason. As a bit of a programming note, I was definitely in off-season mode because we had a few technical difficulties in this one, including my Wi-Fi completely cutting out in the middle of the interview. So I will splice that together, but just noting that up top for when you hear the jump in the conversation. Now, let's turn to my interview with Emily Adams. Welcome back to the show, friend of the pod, Emily Adams from the Hartford Current. Emily, thanks for being here.
You know, surprised me back. Thought this was the off season. Didn't realize we were starting so soon.
Yeah, truly. I was expecting to just put out a quick podcast saying where everyone was playing in the off season and say, well, that's probably all you're going to hear from me for a while. But it sounds like, you know,
surprise.
The team had other plans. Yeah, exactly. Obviously, big news out yesterday, head coach Stephanie White, she's leaving the team, not sticking around through the end of the contract. Just give me your instant reaction. What was your first thought when you saw this news?
My first thought was, I didn't think it was coming today. I think as soon as, you know, and I said this when we were talking off air, but as soon as, you know, we started hearing that she was talking to Indiana, it became pretty believable to me that that was going to happen. It was just sort of waiting for the Christy Sides shoe to drop. So once Indiana made that call, then it was just sort of a matter of time. And clearly, I assume with the amount of vacancies that are happening right now, everybody decided to move sooner rather than later. And it came more quickly than I was expecting it to. But yeah, it wasn't totally surprising to me. It would have been 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, like, it's actually an interesting point you just brought up, that, like, with so many teams having vacancies now, like, there's a race for getting the best options out there now. Like, you can't kind of sit back. In a normal year, it'd be like 1 to 2 coaches, and you can kind of sit back and start your interviews and start, like, you know, put it on a, and now it's like, oh, every single team is looking for someone to add to their staff in one way or another. So it's like, yep, I'll go at once. We all have to be out there, like, fighting for whoever's next.
Yeah, and I mean, based on what Annie Costable up at the Chicago Sun-Times has been reporting, and she's been really kind of at the forefront of a lot of this reporting, Chicago was interested in Steph, and that would have, you know, gotten her a little bit closer to home as well. She's from Indiana. And so it does kind of seem like there was some holdout there waiting to see if Indiana was going to move. Indiana did move. Now we're kind of where we are. And now Chicago's having to kind of look at their second and third choices. So it's, I feel like we're already seeing that, and we are not even one domino down. Like, right now we have seven active coaching vacancies.
Yeah. It's like 7 coaches and 4 GMs
and
or something
4
like
GMs
that
across 8 yeah. teams, I think. Yeah. It's, yeah. We're in a weird spot right now. As a
yeah.
league.
And a brand new team joining the league. Like, it's just like, it's,
right.
it's utter insanity.
And 2 more coming the year after that.
Yeah. I feel like Indiana's a bit of a foregone conclusion. Like, everyone's kind of assuming that Steph White's going to go to Indiana. Can you just tell folks who don't necessarily know about Stephanie White's, like, connection to Indiana? Obviously, you just said she lived there, but she obviously has other connections to that team. Can you just tell folks who don't know about it already just a little bit about that? I was going to say that my Wi-Fi cut out in the middle of Emily's answer, and I have no idea what you were saying. And in the panic that ensued afterwards, I don't even remember what question you were answering.
We can run back to the top of Steph's resume with Indiana.
Yes,
yeah, I mean, it's a lot. Yeah, it's a long story for her, obviously, in Indiana. She grew up in Indiana, went to Purdue, won a national championship at Purdue under Carolyn Peck, but was recruited to Purdue by Lynn Dunn, who is a longtime fixture in the Fever organization, is now a senior advisor in their front office. Her second assistant job in the W was on Lynn Dunn's staff when Lynn was the Fever head coach. It's where she spent where Steph spent the longest amount of time coaching in the W, spent several years on Lynn's staff, and then two as the head coach. It was her first head coaching job. She was on the national championship, or I'm sorry, she was on the Fever's championship staff in 2012, the only title in franchise history. She took them back to the finals in 2015 in her first year as head coach. So it's, you know, her ties to that organization run really deep. And I also think it's just a much more appealing job than really any of the other vacancies that are out there right now.
Yeah.
You know, Indiana is a rebuild sort of in a sense, but the pieces are for the most part in the building, you know, even to the point where they have a couple of veterans who will hopefully stick around. You know, when you look at like a Kelsey Mitchell, even Alexi Hull, I kind of consider a veteran at this point. You know, it's, they have all the pieces in the building, and it's just sort of putting them together. And that's a much easier task than, you know, you look at Chicago where, okay, you have these two potential superstars and then everything else is just an absolute question mark at this point. And you know, that front office has been in a lot of turmoil in Indiana. It's a front office that not only is Steph White very familiar with them, you know, I believe their new GM, first of all, she's coming in with a new GM. So she is, you know, the current hierarchy's hire. She's their choice.
Yeah.
Their current GM, I believe, hired her the last time that she was head coach in Indiana. So it's, you know, the ties really are kind of endless. It just, as soon as that job came open, it sort of made too much sense for her.
Yeah. And I feel like what I'm seeing, especially from like national media, is a lot of people saying that like Steph White is the best current WNBA coach in free agency, if you will, now that she's out of her contract. Do you agree with that? You think that that's probably correct? Yeah. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I think so much of coaching is fit to me. You know, like I think, you know, you look at someone like Kurt Miller, who was in Connecticut for many, many years and was incredibly successful, missed the playoffs like twice in his entire tenure here. And then, you know, went to LA and has really struggled because it's an incredibly different situation than he had for all those years in Connecticut. I think like, to me, Steph is certainly the best fit for Indiana on the market. I think like even outside of sort of the like narrative reasons to do it, I think what that organization needs is sort of a veteran presence. It needs somebody who's really good with media and really good at putting on that like face of the franchise role, because you have a lot of young players who are not really ready to do that right now. And I think we saw that a lot this season with, you know, a lot of like the way that rhetoric got nasty and things like that. We saw that. I feel like the Fever front office, the Fever coaches, the Fever players in a lot of situations just weren't prepared to handle that the way that it needed to be handled. So I think getting someone like Steph into the building, who not only is really familiar with the organization, but is really familiar with the league, is really familiar with the college game and with the draft and with scouting, and someone who's really familiar with the media side, who has been in broadcast meetings, who has been on that side of the fence before. I think she, as just sort of a culture builder, is exactly what they need. And I think none of the other coaches on the market right now are kind of in that same sort of plug and play capacity that I feel like Steph is for this Indiana team to be where they're trying to be at the pace that they would like to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. And like,
I've been seeing an interesting thing from fans. It's like on one side, I see a lot of fans who are like, losing Coach White is absolutely devastating, right? I mean, her first year with the team, she won Coach of the Year. Like she's been successful with this team, obviously not all the way to the, you know, the mountaintop, right? But so I'm seeing some fans with that reaction, and then other fans, I feel like a bit of it is just people on Twitter want to be right, but other fans being like, always hated Stephanie White. she's the worst coach ever. And I feel like that does just go back to like you said, it's so hard to judge how a coach does, right? I mean, it's basically impossible. We're not in the team meetings. We're not in practices. We don't really know what's going on outside of the, you know, outside of the team. So, but
yeah, and I mean, look at Christy Sides took a team that won 5 games and took them to the playoffs, and it got her out of a job in a year. So, you know, I don't think it's, I think the W is just in such a precarious spot right now. And I think, you know, when you look around the league, there's so few coaches with experience that, like, if you're a team that really needs that sort of steady hand right now, your options are extremely, extremely limited. And it had to be, I think it had to be something that moved as quickly as this has.
Yeah. Let's circle back to the Sun here on Here Comes Sun. what do you think, I mean, what does this mean for the Sun themselves? I mean, like, you've got this coupled with a bunch of players, especially the most important players, really, who are out of contract and unrestricted. Like, what do you think this means for? Do you think the Sun are not rallying the troops anymore? Is it full rebuild time, or what do you think is gonna be the impact of this down the road for the team?
Yeah, I don't know that there was a whole lot of hope of rallying the troops to begin with, quite honestly. And I think this has certainly, I mean, they were already in a bad position coming into this free agency, and that's just the reality. And this, I mean, decidedly makes it worse. You know, I think Steph had, you know, specifically a really good rapport with a lot of the Suns' young players. You know, Marina Mabry cites Steph's offense as a specific reason she wanted to come to Connecticut. Dejanay Carrington has obviously, like, has a really good relationship with her, reacted on Twitter yesterday after the news of her being out of her contract happened. Ty Harris also reacted on Twitter yesterday, you know, was traded to the Sun when Steph got there, has only ever known the Stephanie White Sun. So I think that's what makes me more nervous. You know, you were probably going to lose ATDB and Breezy in the next 2 years, regardless. Mm-hmm. You know, that I feel like sort of feels like a foregone conclusion at this point. You know, is there a chance that, you know, they core AT and AT sticks around next year and potentially DB sticks around with her? Yeah, for sure. But that's, you know, those are going to be short term, you know, are they staying this year? Are they staying next year type of things? But, you know, those young players that you want to be able to build around, your Dejanay and Marina duo that, you know, A, is really fun on the court, but also is really beloved from, like, a fan perspective, is really, really good for your brand. A Ty Harris, who's, like, one of the few true point guards in the league that has starting experience at this point. You know, like, it's these are players that, you know, you're seeing, okay, they're going to have to rebuild. They're not going to have these superstars anymore, but you're seeing the next generation. And I think, you know, heading into 2026, when Ty Harris is an unrestricted free agent, Marina Mabry is an unrestricted free agent, Dejanay Carrington's a restricted free agent this year. And I mean, who knows what happens with that? So it's, you know, that I think is where you start to worry for the future and kind of what the next, not just 2 or 3 years, but, you know, 5 to 8 years are going to look like.
Yeah. And I think speaking on the, like, the next 5 to 8 years, right. We talked about this a little bit before we jumped on, started recording, but, like, elephant in the room, as you said, is this team is, like, I'm pretty sure I saw someone say, like, it's the smallest market in the league. It's, you know, in her, one of her, like, her, outgoing press conference. I remember the lingo for it. The end of season press conference. The DeJuana Bonner. Thank you. The exit interview. That just sounds so much like leaving your like boring office job that I'm like, I just can't believe that that's what we call it. But in her exit interview, DeJuana Bonner even talked about like the facilities and the lack of like practice space. They like share a practice space with like the like a community center. And you know, they've got one of those, if not the smallest, like one of the smaller arenas. At what point do we think that, like, I mean, maybe even already, but at what point does the situation with the tribe ownership start to limit the growth of this team while the rest of the league is growing? And, like, I'll stop there. I'll let you respond to that first.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no argument that it is limited by that right now. You know, I think that just, like, is true, and they're not the only team that's limited by their ownership, and there are other ownership, you know, there are other teams with that are limited by their ownership for frankly worse reasons than the Sun are limited by the Tribe. You know, the Tribe are sort of such a unique circumstance, so it's like, you know, at least this is not just like some billionaire who's not putting money into the team. But at the same time, it's a professional sports franchise, and you know, if you want your professional sports franchise in a market that is fundamentally unattractive to, you know, the traditional superstar, you have to have something else that's appealing. And right now the Sun don't. They don't have facilities that are better than anyone else in the league. There are other teams with similar facilities, with comparable facilities, but they're not better than anyone.
Yeah.
You know, I think, again, it used to be, you know, there was a really strong fan presence in Connecticut that, you know, wasn't necessarily as consistent other places. That's not really the case anymore. You know,
and just to clarify, again, it's like Connecticut does still have shout out to the Connecticut's own fans. The issue is that like absolutely, other teams also have fans now. Yeah. And it's like,
right. Correct. It's, you know, those fan bases are not. Yeah. It's not just a couple of teams now. It's you can go anywhere in the league and sort of have a good home crowd for the most part now, which was not true 5-10 years ago. And even, yeah, again, it, you know, if we have, you know, this veteran core of the Sun break up, that's been the thing. I mean, for really almost a decade now since AT was drafted, and then Breezy a couple of years after her, the sort of core of the Sun has been, you know, they have this defensive superstar, you know, they have these veteran, you know, championship contender, MVP caliber players. And, you know, you come to the Sun, you know, role players, talented role players want to come to the Sun to kind of be on a contender. It's part of the reason why Marina came. Yeah. And I think you're not seeing that as much anymore either, because again, you can go more places and be a contender. There's more depth of talent in the league. There's more teams, there's more competition. Like it's just, you know, it's the Sun can't retain the veteran superstars anymore because of not having all the other things. So it's sort of, you know, the pieces I feel like are slowly falling away for them in terms of kind of what can make them an attractive franchise to a free agent.
Yeah. And it's like, I think, you know, there are probably ways to stay in Connecticut and do all those things, right? Like, yeah. One would just be like build a facility,
facility. Supposedly, you know, is,
yeah,
allegedly coming in the near future, but
yes,
I just, you know, we still just don't know what any of that means.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I don't know. I'm no builder. I'm no architect. I don't know how and if it's possible to like enhance Mohegan Sun Arena itself, make it bigger. I don't know where, honestly, being inside, it feels like you're not even at the casino anymore. So I have no sense of where it is in relation to the existing towers and things and how much space there is above it, if any. But like,
yeah,
but it does. I mean, like, and maybe that's, instead of doing that, it's playing at another place in Connecticut. I know a lot of Connecticut fans who would be Connecticut-based fans who would be devastated if the team were to leave the state at the same time, right? Like, they did obviously just play a game in Boston, and, like, Boston's a big market with a lot of sports. There's obviously challenges there, but it does help get around, like what you were, you know, talking about the, like, the if those things that made the Sun different before are no longer different, now they're just the small market team without a bunch of things in a small part of Connecticut. And yeah,
and I think it's, you know, it's a lot of it can be resolved if the Tribe is in a position to invest more heavily in the team, basically. You know, if you can provide players with comparable facilities to other places, you know, there are always going to be players like an Alyssa Thomas who don't want to be in LA, you know?
Yeah.
Like, AT is not an LA kind of superstar. Like, AT is a Connecticut kind of superstar. And that's, like, there is room for that. And there, but you have to, in order for that caliber of player to be the caliber of player that you want them to be, you have to have these things now. And that's just sort of the, you know, it's becoming the reality. It's why you've seen more and more teams over the last couple of years announce facilities. You know, a lot of teams in the league already share facilities with their NBA counterparts. So it's like, that's something that needs to happen, like, immediately, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And again, the fact that there's not, like, a hard timeline on that right now for players, like, the CBA is getting rewritten in 2026 one way or another. So, like, players have no reason to stay anywhere long term right now. And if you can't get something up by 2026 when the entire league hits free agency, you know, I don't know what they do in that situation. So it's something that needs to happen fast if it's going to happen in the near future.
Yeah, get some mock-ups, get a groundbreaking date. Because it's not like we're saying, like, they need to build a facility overnight. It's just like you said, in that time period.
But we're on a timeline here.
Yeah, yeah. And you've got to show evidence of some of these things, like, happening, especially if we're trying to stay in Connecticut. Before I let you go, I do want to talk a bit about potential new head coaches. We are so very early in this process that there's, like, this is, you know, it's kind of grasping at straws a little bit. I literally had only thought of one of the names that I saw on your list on in your story in the Hartford Current. So I'd love to just have you tell folks about some of these potential head coach targets and a little bit about them. Obviously, let's start with my hero, Brian January.
Yeah, I think the big question with Bran is if the Sun want to promote her, if Bran wants the job, or if Bran would like to go to Indiana with Steph. I think there's a very real possibility of that. You know, Bran also has a history with a player with Indiana. Her wife was on Christie's staff at Indiana, so she has plenty of reasons to kind of be interested in getting in with that franchise. But I think Brianna is somebody who, you know, Steph herself has said is on the trajectory to being a head coach in the W sooner rather than later. I think, you know, you talk about, along with a couple of other assistants, you know, Las Vegas's Tyler Marsh has been talked about for a couple of other jobs around the league. And we'll get to Minnesota's Rebecca Brunson and Katie Smith as well, are also names that are kind of coming up just kind of in the ether. But I think Bran is one of those. She's the least experienced of that group. She's only been out of the league as a player and in it as a coach for, I think, two seasons now, maybe three. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, Bran is in the building. She has relationships with the players already. She knows the franchise. She knows the systems that they've been running under Steph. And so I think the thing that you get with Bran is sort of, hopefully, a more seamless transition of power. You hopefully retain a lot of your support staff and things like that. You maintain a lot of your just kind of day-to-day operations. And I think it makes it easier during an incredibly chaotic coaching search for the whole league that you can just kind of point to the person you're building and go, okay, you're staying here, and it's done. So I think that's kind of the benefit. The drawback is Bria is super young and doesn't have a lot of experience, and Steph gave Bria a lot of responsibility on that team. You know, she dubbed her kind of the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And so she, I mean, Brienne is in a very real way responsible largely for the way that Sun defense ran this year. You know, Dejanay Carrington credits her a lot for her development. So it's, you know, she certainly, again, has head coach capacity. It's just kind of a question of whether she's actually ready to kind of take that jump just a couple of years in. Because the reality is that it is a jump, and it is kind of a different level to bear. It's the reason a lot of these coaches are only getting 1, 2, 3 years at their jobs, because it's really hard to step into those roles.
Yeah, I know, like, you know, as a I've said before on the show, I'm a proud Boston Celtics fan. Celtics had a, you know, promoted their assistant coach and then immediately went on to win two seasons later win a championship. So promote Brie in January and then you win a championship in 2 years. I think it's a great it's a great plan.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that's how it works. You already brought her up briefly, but tell us about Rebecca Brunson with the Lynx.
Yeah, Rebecca Brunson is, I don't, you know, this is just like a name that is on the market that I think is a really good fit for them. Rebecca was a 7-time all-defensive team player as a player, won 4 titles in Minnesota, is sort of a career winner in that way, also won a title way back in the day with the Monarchs, who are sadly now defunct. But yeah, Rebecca has been on Cheryl's staff in Minnesota since 2020. So right after the Maya Moore era sort of officially ended. And so has really seen that franchise go through, I think, kind of a similar rebuild to the one that the Sun are about to go through. Minnesota, I think, was a little better equipped to do it, quite honestly. And also they had Cheryl Reeve, which helps. But you know, Minnesota really went from kind of losing all of its star power over the course of a couple of years to mostly to retirement. And then, you know, missed the playoffs for the second time in Cheryl Reeve's tenure. It was their first time missing them, I think, in 12 years, 13 years. And then 2 years later, they are, you know, a shot away from winning the WNBA finals with a roster that, again, included very few high draft picks. You know, it's me, but behind that, you know, it's a lot of sort of role players and talent that they've developed over time. And that's what the Sun are going to have to do here. So I think someone like Rebecca, who has had a first hand, you know, seat to that, who has trained under someone like Cheryl, who is, I mean, at this point, the epitome of experience in the W, I think, you know, she's as close as you're going to get to kind of a veterans coach in somebody who doesn't actually have, you know, direct head coaching experience.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then the last one from your story was Eric. I don't know how to pronounce Eric Tybalt. Is it Tybalt?
Tebow.
See, there we go.
Yeah. I will say this is not my favorite of the options. this is very much to me sort of a, This like people who have, you know, my editor brought up to me was like, well, what about Kurt Miller? You know, I know he was good with the Sun, and I was like, Kurt Miller is not coming back here. Because I think it is sort of a, you know, doing the same thing and expecting different results situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that is kind of what you would ultimately get with Eric. Mike Tebow was in Connecticut for many, many years, was very successful here, was kind of one of the original faces of the franchise after they made the move from Orlando. And Mike obviously is just a legend in the WNBA in general, kind of led the Mystics to their turnaround before he and Eric were let go this year, but won a title in Washington. So it's, you know, and, you know, the Tebows have some other history in Connecticut. For folks who are based here, the name Carly Tybo Dudonis is familiar because she is the head coach down at Fairfield, and they went almost undefeated last year. They had like a crazy season before the tournament. So like she, you know, is a phenomenal coach in her own right. But yeah, I mean, I think Eric did a fine job with what he was given in Washington to me. You know, I don't think Eric was the problem the last 2 years. I think the problem was Elena Deladon not playing, quite honestly. I think there's that you could do with that, especially given how weird the situation was with sort of having injuries and then her sitting out this year, and they thought they were going to have her with the core tag, and then, you know, she's sort of just stepping away from basketball. So, you know, I think Eric just kind of stepped in at a really rocky time for that franchise. But I also just don't, like, see Eric as an elevator, per se. Like, I don't think that's someone who you bring in as, like, okay, we're taking on the next era of our franchise. We're ready to step up. I think, you know, for the Sun specifically, it just kind of feels like you're, you know, running the old playbook again and hoping something sticks this time. Yeah. And that has proven over, I think, the last decade of the Sun kind of doing that, that that's not the way you win a championship in the WNBA. So I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if that happens because the market is so competitive this year. Like, Rebecca Brunson is a name that's been brought up for several other jobs. And frankly, staying in Minnesota after they came 2 points away from a WNBA championship is not unappealing either, if Cheryl can make that case. But yeah, I mean, there's six jobs open right now, and the Sun are not a particularly desirable one at this point now. So yeah, I think it wouldn't surprise me if sort of Eric ends up being where they go, and I think that would be fine. But I don't think that would be a particularly exciting hire.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I also wonder too if we end up seeing any NBA coaches kind of trying to make the jump. I admittedly have absolutely none in mind. And I also think that, like, if soccer is any indication of this, like, men's coaches are not always particularly great for women's teams and vice versa sometimes too. So it's like, we will see. It is tough as a fan. It is tough to kind of be in this position where I'm just like, it's like, all right, we're just gonna wait and see what happens, and we're gonna find something to be excited about.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you look at, like, you know, you've seen, like, the Nate Tibbetts, you know, obviously made the jump from the NBA. It wouldn't like shock me to see, you know, a couple of NBA assistants, you know, especially just kind of get thrown around as names for some of these jobs. Yeah. And I know, like, there obviously are, you know, assistants, you know, Candace Dupree. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's someone who has an interest in coming back to the W, but is someone who played in the W, is now, you know, a coach in the NBA. And I think there's a couple of others around. So, you know, it'll be interesting, I think, to see once the first couple of dominoes fall, once some of the headliners are off the board, where teams start going, especially with GMs. That one, too, is, I mean, the Sun are fortunate, I think, to have Darius, who I think is really good at what he does. And hopefully they'll be able to hold on to him for a little longer. But, yeah, it is a tough time to be in the market for a head coach.
Truly. Well, this is a bit of a bleak episode, but Emily, thank you so much for joining just to talk through all these things. I know that fellow Sun fans are, you know, wandering through the wilderness, so we appreciate you jumping on to help us.
A pleasure as always.
If you're looking for coverage of UConn women's basketball, Emily Adams is still your greatest source. Make sure you're following Emily on Twitter. And I will also, of course, share in the show notes links to the stories of Emily's that I talked about a bit on the show today. Thanks again, Emily.
Yeah, thank you.
That was my interview with Emily Adams for the Hartford Current. Thanks again to Emily for joining, though it wasn't the cheeriest discussion. It was definitely a helpful one for Sun fans trying to figure out what is going on with the team this offseason and getting ready to, you know, figure out what to expect going forward. I wanted to quickly, as I mentioned during the interview, quickly talk about, you know, where some of the Sun players will be playing this offseason. So first of all, and the new unrivaled league started by Nafisa Collier and Brianna Stewart. Dejanay Carrington and Marina Mabry will be playing there. Overseas in China, Ty Harris and Olivia Nelson-Adoda will both be playing. They're on different teams, but they're both playing in the Chinese league. In Australia, Veronica Burton is playing. And then in Europe, you've got Breezy in Prague, Caitlin Bickel in Italy, and Astu and Durfal in Turkey. The Sun usually do a pretty good job of posting about how the players are doing overseas. And so I'm sure, you know, if you follow the Connecticut Sun on social media, that you'll be able to see kind of how they're doing overseas and what their off season's looking like. As a programming note, the show will not be weekly during the off season, but like today, should there be any big breaking news, especially around the expansion draft or any of the free agency signings, and you know, when a new head coach gets named, I will be right back here to give you those updates and try my best to get guests on like Emily to help break down, you know, any of the news that comes up and anything we should be looking forward to in the off season ahead of next season. That'll be it for me. Thank you so much for listening to Here Come the Sun. If you're enjoying the show, please hit subscribe so that you can get these updates whenever they happen. Share the show with friends, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave the show a review. It'll help other Sun fans find the show. Thanks again for listening, and I will talk to you next time here on Here Come the Sun.